Let's close your eyes right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for what it does, for how it works, for how it paints the pictures, how it lays out the track for our future. I thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit, for your goodness. I thank you for your kindness, for the way that you are so patient with your people and so loving and so wonderful. We give you the glory for your word, Lord God. We thank you for the richness of your word, Father, today and always, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, are you ready for God's word?
Yes.
Really quickly, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. To me, Hebrews is probably the meatiest book of the Bible. And I don't know how some people, you know, they say, oh, a chapter a day, blah, blah, blah. If you can do more than a few verses a day in the book of Hebrews, then well done. Because to me, it's just so, so meaty and so powerful. And I want us to take the concept of hope. I've been ministering on what hope is for the last 2 weeks, and I want to add this one as well this morning. I was praying and seeking God for his word, and I said, Lord, I've ministered on hope 2 weeks in a row, and for me to do 2 weeks in a row is a miracle, but three is like unheard of. So I know that God has put this thing together, and I want us to really get into the richness of his word. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 10. And I'm really going to take my time. We're going to go through to the 19th verse and then close with something from the book of Hosea by God's grace. But I really want to take some time on this and get this word of hope into you. There's a triune relationship between faith, hope, and love. The Bible says that faith works by love in the book of Galatians. Say it out loud. Faith works by love. Right. Now, in the book of Romans, in the 5th chapter, it says that hope works by love. Say it out loud. Hope works by love. Right. So, faith works by love, and hope works by love. Love of itself can't help you to achieve, even though the Bible says the greatest of these is love, it didn't say that you should neglect all the others. Because they work in a three-way thing. How many of you've studied electronics or electricity at all at school, or you've done electric? I know Tottenham Pete was an electrician. He keeps telling me the same stories every week about how he worked as an electrician in the West End and all sorts of stuff. But you know, you get that way sometimes when you're, you know, reaching your age, etc. Enough said. But there is an equation. And I don't know, TP, you may have learned this at school. There's an equation, and it says I equals V over R. Does anyone remember that equation from physics? Put up your hand, wave your hand around if you remember that equation, so I'm not lying. Okay. And basically, it's, or we would say, the way I learned it is volts times amps equals watts. Right? So you know the wattage anything at all will have a wattage rating. And that's how many volts you need times how many amps equals the watts, right? And there's this equation that you can draw where it's like a triangle, right? And you can have volts times amps there, and then you can have watts there, or I equals V over R, same thing. And you can cover up one to work out the other, how to work out the third one. You just cover the one you want to work out. I can tell some of you lost stories. Okay. So it's almost like that in the realm of the spirit concerning faith, hope, and love. There's this relationship between the three that we really, to get the best, how many of you want the abundant life? And Jesus said, he said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he gives us the New Testament to show us who we are in the new creation. And this is like, this is right down deep in the epicenter of who we are in the new creation. Faith, hope, and love. The Bible talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit wills. And then he talks about the three gifts of the Holy Spirit, faith, hope, and love, as we will. So faith, hope, and love are ours. They're deposits by the Holy Spirit for us to develop. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are as the Spirit wills, but the three gifts of the Holy Spirit, faith, hope, and love, are as we will. So we have to engage our will to get the best out of these gifts. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope you follow some of you to really get the richness of what I'm saying. You may have to play this over and over. That's why we stick it up free on YouTube. We stick it on Periscope, on Facebook, and all that kind of thing. So that if there's something, you know what? God spoke to me in that message, but I can't quite remember the workings, the mechanics of it. Because in life, you can put these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us to work like a mechanic will open up his workshop and fix cars. That's really the God's honest truth about it. Because these three gifts from the Holy Spirit in Christ are as we will. So that as we engage our will in these things, then we can succeed. So we have to know what faith is. And you know, you talk to some people and they will reel off Hebrews 11:1. Oh, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? But then when it comes to like how you develop your faith, that's where a lot of people get stuck. And I don't know about you, but I want to develop my faith. When you read the list of everything that the people overcame in the hall of faith thing in Hebrews 11, I mean, they shut the power of the mouths of lions. They had authority over the power of fire. They rebuked things. Some of them were happy to be sawn in two, beheaded. Wow. I mean, gladly. You know, people say, right, I'm going to kill you for your faith. Okay, well, where would you like me to stand? Do you know what I mean? That's some guts right there, right? Okay. And the Bible says that they achieved these high things because the Bible talks about martyrdom, martyrs receiving a better resurrection. So if you are killed for your faith, then that you will obtain on the resurrection day. Coming up out of the ground or out of the sea or wherever you died or whatever. I mean, that's going to be big enough already, like at a molecular level, all these compounds coming back together and becoming a human body, again, a resurrected body, that's freaky enough, right? But to obtain, as the Bible says, a better resurrection, I mean, that puts you in another class altogether, right? And the Bible says that by faith, these guys achieved these things. The Bible says women received their husbands back from the dead. So faith is stronger than death. Yes. Amazing stuff. And it says there, and this is where we get stuck a lot of the time, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. So we've got to know what hope is before we can really determine what faith is. Yes. And that's why I've been, it could take like maybe 3 months, even 3 years to get into the real mechanics of hope. But I pray that there's sufficient in this for you to at least be on your journey. Yes. Amen. Amen. So we've got faith, hope, and love. Now, we're going to go through verse by verse from verse 10 to verse number 19, okay? And I want you to get this, and I'll stop and rewind, etc. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work. Isn't that good? Yes. Anything you do for God is a memorial. Parking the cars is a memorial. Yes. Fixing the toilets like Dugbe is a memorial. Yes. Putting your hand down the thingy to retrieve something like Tim did once is a memorial. I don't know what sort of reward you'll achieve for that huge crown. Yeah. All sorts of stuff. Working in the kids' ministry. There's a reward. There's a reward. There's a reward. The driving ministry, Anto drives me around wherever I'm ministering. There's a reward for that. I don't know what it is. That's between him and God. But the Bible says he's a rewarder of those that diligently put him first. That's the word seek. those who diligently put him first, he's a rewarder of such people, right? He says, for the labor of love and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Next verse. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, what for? We've just skipped, haven't we? Is that Hebrews? So let me just check my... It's Hebrews chapter 6. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. You started at the right thing and that's it. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. We desire that each one of you so show the same diligence. So there's a connection between hope and diligence. That's interesting right there. That there's something about hope that will cause us to be diligent. Something on the inside of you, something takes root on the inside of you. And some of us, you know, in the early days of ministry, you don't even know why you're being so diligent about the thing. But you know it's for your God, so it's got to be excellent. You know it's for your God, so it's got to be 100%. It can't be 90%. Oh, that's good enough for gospel. No way. There's sometimes even, you know, if somebody even plays a bum note on during praise and worship and everything like that, it's like, oh, gosh, man, what is Reflex doing on them? It's like everything, it's got to be 100%. Can I let you into a little secret, right? You see this projector line here. This is the kind of thing that happens to me. I don't know whether I'm a freak or not. I haven't got a clue. But there's something about it that has just got to be excellent. So I've sat there for the last number of years. And this line, because I painted it myself, I've got no one else to blame but me. Because what we did was we lit the projector and then we painted the white screen around the projector. But the projector wasn't level. I don't know whether anyone noticed. Did you notice? Because Darius the builder, builders often note, oh, he's a bit off there. Okay. And this line here was fine, but then it started to slope down. And so when we leveled up the projector ended there, but the white screen ended there. And to most people, how many of you just think I'm crazy? It was off, ever so slightly off. I mean, the gap between there and there now is probably just slightly over an inch. Dude, that inch spoke to me for nearly 6 years. I can't describe it. It's my father's house. Do you understand? That's the diligence that comes from hope. It's like something's on the inside of you and it's speaking. This thing's got to be right. It's my father's house. It's my father's house. And the Lord spoke to me, you know, about talking about his father's house. Do you remember that scripture that Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer, what? For all nations, right? In the book of Luke. And then he says, but you have turned it into a robber's cave, talking about the money changers. You remember that? And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, you know what? He said, in this generation, we have turned that scripture around where we've done it concerning the robbers. We've cleaned out the robbers, but it's still a cave. I thought, oh, here we go again. Here's God talking to me about ghetto Christianity, where church is a cave where a bunch of Christians come in, ghettoize for a few hours, and then go out again. And we don't bring the lost and we don't, you know, bring the hurting and the sick and the those who need a physician. We've turned it into a cave. And I said, is this okay for Sunday morning?
Yes.
Okay. Just being straight up and honest. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, bring somebody. There's someone who needs it, you know, and we're so, like, we come in. This is what happens to us. We come into church. We get so enriched. We get so charged. Did you feel that this morning during the praise and worship? My goodness, I felt like I could conquer kingdoms, man, in that praise and worship. Can we clap for the worship team and for Roro and the whole team there? Amazing work they do. Amazing. And I just feel, and I think to myself then, how many people need this? Some of them are going into work tomorrow, the uncertainty of their job. some of them on the dregs jobs of the world on 0 hours. Some of them literally that, you know, I saw a woman, oh God, help me, Jesus. And you see certain things like this and it really touches your heart, right? Me and Godfrey were over at Lidl, say nothing, a few weeks ago. And there was a woman buying some tomatoes, like a bag full of tomatoes. And she didn't have enough for the full bag of tomatoes. From Lidl, I mean, we're not talking Fortnum and Mason here. We're not talking Waitrose. Lidl. And my heart just, gosh. And I just think to myself, you know, the gospel that we preach about how God can prosper you. How many of you, God has prospered you since you got saved? Just put up your hand. Just wave it around as a thank offering to the Lord. How many people are poor in London who need to hear it? They need that weekly injection. They need a fellowship, a small group, a cell group to be a part of. The Bible says he puts the lonely in families. How many lonely people are there in London town? Hey. Wow. And we've turned it into a cave. That's what the Lord was talking to me about a few weeks ago. And it hit me. You know when God speaks to you about something, it's like, dum, it's like a thump straight in the chest. May God thump you in the chest in Jesus' name to bring somebody who can have this thing and run with it. Because if you did it for me, you'd do it for them. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, look at the state of you. If he did it for you, he'll do it for someone else. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next verse before I get myself into trouble. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap quick. Praise God. He says here in verse 12, so that you will not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, how many of you know there's an election going on in the US right now, and there's two really strange candidates? I have never seen a stranger election in my life. And I was copying, you see, it talks about being an imitator. And I was trying to copy both of them. And I started out with Hillary, you know, with the sort of kind of thing, like, she looks so goofy, she could eat an apple through a letterbox, you know? It's like, and then there's the other fella who looks like, do you anyone remember Mr. Ed, the horse? Do you remember the way he talks? I can't even do it. I tried it this morning with my bottom and my top lip open, talking about Mexicans. And I couldn't do it. Right. Now, what am I doing right there? I'm imitating. Now, look at this scripture. He says, so that you will not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So find somebody in the realm of the spirit, find somebody to imitate. That's really, do you know what? This is what God told me. This is really what a spiritual father or a spiritual mother is. Somebody that God has done a work in their lives so that you can latch onto and imitate them. Find them. Find them. If you don't have a spiritual father, you're an illegitimate child. Hallelujah. What? It's the truth. It's the old English word. It's true. Absolutely true. Find somebody. Now you've gone quiet on me again. Merciful Lord. Find somebody to imitate in the realm of the spirit. Somebody that you can really do business with their teaching. Somebody that you get, somebody the way that God described it to me is like, if it makes your baby jump. Do you know what I'm talking about? When Mary and Elizabeth met, and the Bible says that the child in her womb leapt for joy. Find somebody that makes your baby jump and imitate them. Get as close to them as you can in the spirit. I don't mean stalk them and follow them on Instagram and do if you want, if they preach the word through it. But do you understand what I'm saying? like proper spiritual imitation, God will do something wonderful, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, that word imitate there is a Greek word, mimits, which means literally mimic. You know the way I was mimicking those two leaders? And America needs prayer, guys. That election needs prayer, so do lift up prayers for America for the election. But the way that I was imitating those people, that's mimicking them. Amen. Mimic those ones that God gives you. Next verse. For when God made the promises, now this is where I wanted to get to. When God made the promises to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, so God looked around for somebody greater for him to swear by. Since he could swear by no one greater, he swore, what? By himself, saying, I will surely, in other words, I place my Godship on the line here. I don't know how you can do a chapter a day in Hebrews. This one alone, that's a year's worth of meditation in the word right there. I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply you. 15. Verse 15. And so having patiently awaited, he obtained the promise. Next verse. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath is given as confirmation, is an end to every dispute. So you're looking at God here swearing. He's giving his word, right? But then the Bible says he also gave him his oath, because you swear by what? An oath. Right? So this is God giving his word, but he's also giving his oath. Next verse. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise. Who are the heirs of the promise? Are you sure?
Yes.
A few of you sound convinced. You see, this is part of the problem that we have in studying the word, right? Between verse 14 and 17, you've probably got a year's worth of meditation on God's word. What do I mean by that? You remember what hope is when you close your eyes and you picture. You turn the scripture into a picture, right? You close out the seen touch world and you allow the unseen word that has been received into your heart by the word of God, because words carry pictures, right? In fact, let me show you something right there. Hold that scripture right there. I've got the four basic blessings of the gospel, right? That come. Now, I need big guys, so I want Terry Springer. Who else have we got here? Who's big in the house? I can't even see, you know. Anto Branto, Terry Jackson, put the weapon down. Hey, honey. Thank you, sir. Take that one. Four basic blessings of the gospel. Anto, and then who else? Who's sat at the back somewhere there? Don Tomasino, per favore. Mille grazie. I have to pay him a lot of respect because he's from Italy. And it's like, facciamo le mani. Great. Okay. Super. Okay, let's get them in order now. So you come here. Terry Springer here. That's great. And Terry Jackson here. Okay. Four blessings of the gospel. The Bible says that to him who saved us from our sins and washed us in his own blood, right, to him be the glory forever. Healing. Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53, verse 4, 1 Peter 2, 24. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. The chastisement necessary for us to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed, right? Prosperity, that although Jesus Christ was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich, right? And ambassadorship. And we are ambassadors for Christ's sake, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and counting not their trespasses against them. That's all about the new creation. That's all about being taken from worthlessness, that the opposite of these things of ambassadorship is worthlessness. So if your life was worthless like mine was before I got saved, then God's going to make you an ambassador. And in fact, to succeed in Christ, in this one, whatever status you had in the world, you have to count it but dung. That's what Paul the Apostle said. If you can see your life before Christ as dung, then God can make you an ambassador for him. Wonderful. Prosperity, the opposite of that is poverty. Poverty is a curse. Anyone who's been poor knows it, dude. Sickness is a curse. Damnation is a curse, right? Now, we'll carry on here. In the same way, God desiring even more to show us, right? Is that you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
The heirs of the promise. We've got too much scripture intertwined here, but that the Bible talks about us being heirs of salvation. In Romans 4, it talks about us. Verse 17, it talks about Abraham and us being the children of Abraham and Abraham inheriting the promises of God and we being heirs according to the promise. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians, it said, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. So we are, say, I am. An heir of the promise. That means that these four things are ours in fullest measure. Fullest measure. You know what? I've got a testimony to share. I was going to write a testimony card, but then I was doing something instead concerning healing. I was playing with my dog last week. We were out for a walk last week with little Buddy the dog. And he gets really excited when it comes to, like, we've got this ball and thrower, right? So I'm getting ready to launch a ball like with that ball thrower thing. And you whip it like that and the ball goes miles. He runs after it. Anyway, I'm up on one foot like that. And I'm just about to launch the ball. He runs from between my legs. Took me out. Rugby style. Upended me completely. It looked like a cartoon, didn't it? It looked like slow motion. And I was upended. I was in the air. Bang. I came down on my back and on my right wrist, like that. Now, I'm 15 stone. I might not look it because I'm incredibly muscle-bound. I'm so hench. Oh, sorry. Okay, that's for another time. And I landed, the full force of my weight landed on my right wrist. And oh my gosh, man, the pain. I thought, now, what's my instant thing, right? What, like, assess the damage, right? I start moving the thing. It's fine. I start seeing if it's going to swell up. No. It's fine. Literally. I mean, like, the whole thing. It's had a bit of pain, and I know it's there, if you see what I mean. In fact, when I was in the gym on Friday, Junior had to help me with the weights there because I couldn't bear the full weight. Like, full, what was it? 40 kilos? 50? 60? 70 kilos? Any advance on 70? Okay. 15 kilo. No, I'm kidding. But literally, I could. And but that was it. That was the full extent of the injury. And I thought, wow, God is good. Why? Because you see, when my eyes have been closed and I've pictured this stuff, what's in me is more of a reality than what's outside me. So this thing called hope, in other words, turning those scriptures into pictures. I read in the book of Revelation, I don't know, I've not tried it yet. I hope I don't die trying. But you know, the Bible talks about an angel that had power over fire. In the spirit, I've seen myself running into burning buildings to rescue people and coming out the other side. Now, I pray I never have to. I'm not one of those guys like, do you remember that poor guy in Nigeria got hold of some revelation or other, and he told the people, some pastor, did you hear about that? He said, bury me. Did you hear that one? He said, bury me. He said, in 21 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. And of course, they pulled his carcass out of the ground 21 days later. Dude was as stiff as a board. They had to bury him again. That's just stupidity. Do you see what I'm saying? so I'm not going to set a building on fire so I can run into it. Amen. Right, just clearing that up, guys. Some of you are looking kind of strange at me. Okay. But all these things the Bible talks about, he says, right, to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, he interposed with an oath, verse 17, an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, now these two unchangeable things are God's word and his oath. He's not just given us his word on this, he's given us his oath. God has sworn in heaven's courts, right? Two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of. In fact, my Bible says to lay hold of the hope set before us. Or you can say take hold, but I like the word to lay hold because it gives us an element of struggle. If I'm going to lay hold of the fullness of this, then there's a fight involved. Yeah. Amen. How many of you, your flesh nature fights against your spiritual nature on a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minutely, North Circular Road? Beep. You understand? Put your hand on the horn. Move, move. You know, that kind of thing. There's just, you know, your flesh nature. I don't know whether it's age or blood pressure or what, but look, hey. And this is something I contend with, right? Okay. Healing, that we may lay hold of the hope set before us. Why is it so important? Why is it so important to lay hold of the hope that is set before us? Look at this next verse, verse number 19. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul. You know what job an anchor does? An anchor will keep you rooted in a certain place. When you drop the anchor, your ship is staying where it was dropped. It doesn't matter. The storms can come. The winds can blow. The rains can fall. But your ship is staying where it is. Why? Because it's anchored. Right? So this hope, this picture, this scripture that's now a picture on the inside of me becomes the anchor of my soul. God has said it. He's going to do it. He's given not just his word, but his oath, sworn in the body and blood of his son, that he's going to bring these. With blessing, I will bless you. With multiplication, I will multiply you. You see how God has no choice in this thing. He has sworn by the highest authority in the universe, which is himself, right? So that we may lay hold of that. So it's not, God's not our problem. This stuff's done. You understand? 2,000 years ago, it's done, right? And look at this. He says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope but both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Right now, for those of you who studied the Old Testament and the temple, and you know what the veil is, that's the place, that's the entrance place into the Holy of Holies. In fact, man can't even go there, but hope can. Hope can enter that place. So when you're praying for something, when you're seeking God for something, and you are presenting that picture of what you desire, the Holy Spirit himself can take that within the veil. And the one who's established the promises can answer on our behalf. Does that make sense? This stuff can get your prayers answered. This stuff makes you bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. This stuff grows you into a millionaire when you haven't got the bus fare to get out of town. Amen. This stuff, when you're as sick as a dog, when you are as sick as a dog, can take you into the healing realms of heaven. This thing, when you're low down, dirty dog from hell, can lift you into the sanctified life. I'm living proof of it. How many of you got something out of this today?
Oh, yes.
How many of you will develop your hope? You'll develop it like the way a workshop manager works with his tools. How many of you, you'll develop hope? You'll put hope to work. When your eyes are closed, you'll allow that world that when your eyes are closed to be bigger than that world than when your eyes are open. Something great is going to happen to you. Stand to your feet. Thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for this hope. This hope. This kind of hope. Which enters within the veil. We thank you for it, God. We give you glory and praise. We thank you so much, Father, that this world that you're building on the inside of us is much bigger than the world that's on the outside. In fact, those things that don't line up to the world that's on the outside will submit themselves. The outside world will change because of this inside world, this world of hope. Established on the word and on the oath of our Heavenly Father. God, let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen. Let your people put this to work, Heavenly Father. Let them see their faith come alive because faith and hope are working by love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for salvation. We thank you for healing. We thank you for prosperity. We thank you for ambassadorship, Lord God. We receive these things into our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen.